This is CliffCentral.com.
See, Leon, I told you my trick works. Because
we're
George. George?
How's it, Ben?
Yeah, I told you. Bad George Eshwasal, you get George Meany. Good, George. How you been?
Very good, very good. That was a very relaxing song, I must say. I was like sitting here thinking, don't switch it off, don't switch it off.
Yeah, George, we've had a torrid time today. Obviously, it's Friday, and Leanne and I started the day as we'd normally do when no one else is here.
The world just threw shit news at us.
We just realized we haven't got a single positive story for a day. Like, the best story the best story we've had today, I reckon, has been stem cells cured HIV, and they found the Karoo lion.
Yeah. That's as good as it gets.
As good as it gets. So what's happening in the world of motoring? It's obviously a lot more exciting than that.
Well, we had the testing days in the last week, Tuesday and Wednesday, for the Auto Trader South African Car of the Year. And some positive news is that every car is a contender. I went around that track. As a matter of fact, I thought some of the jury judges were going to kill me because they went around that track like they were Michael Schumacher. But there were no incidents or accidents, and I was pretty impressed that these jurors could drive. My word. They took that track on, attacked every corner, put these cars through their paces. My favorite car to have gone in on Tuesday was the Honda Type R, which is a phenomenal little pocket rocket. I'd never own one, unfortunately. If I was 25, I would.
George, just to kind of start off, I just want to kind of run through the list in case people don't know. So it's the Alfa Romeo Stelvio. Gosh, that sounds exotic. Huh?
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Something that Fabio would drive.
Yeah. Oh, just I'd take you for a drive in my Stelvio. Then there's, as you mentioned, the Honda Civic Type R. There's the Hyundai Kona, the Lexus ES. Is that an electric car? A hybrid?
No, it's not. There aren't any electric cars on this year's, but I'm sure there will be next year.
We've got the Mercedes-Benz A-Class, the Mitsubishi Pajero Sport, the Nissan Micra, Porsche Cayenne, Renault Duster, Suzuki Jimny, Suzuki Swift, and the Volvo XC40. And you believe that they've all got a bit of a chance?
I think they've all got a bit of a chance. I was impressed with the Suzuki Jimny's hill climbing ability. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the stuff that these cars went through were unbelievable, but the Jimny is very, very capable. The thing I like about the Jimny is it is a driver's 4x4. So, you know, there a lot of people would probably choose other four-wheel drives or other very capable off-road cars because they've got all the electronics and they can do all the stuff themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas the Jimny, it's got some electronics, but you've really got to drive that car. But it's very capable, very, very capable.
Okay,
and so I'm impressed with the Jimny.
George, I mean, you are of, I would say, decent height. Apologies if this is a stupid question, but is the Jimny just a little bit too small though? I mean, like, what are you? You're like 5'10". You get into a Jimny, like, do you feel like it's just too small though?
No. So I think if you're a little bit on the rugby player size side, yes.
Okay.
But average height like me, I didn't find it problematic. I actually found it just a little bit less spacious than the Jeep Wrangler.
All right.
It wasn't bad. I actually, now that you mention it, that thought did cross my mind, and it would have if I'd got into that car and it was too small.
Okay, so obviously, you know, speaking of track elements, cars like the Honda Civic Type are going to come into their own, but you're not going to look at a Hyundai Kona and say, oh, cheap as a track element, because that's not their strong point, right? So, I mean, how varied is the criteria as far as getting your winner with this?
It's very varied. So cars are not judged on the basis of how fast they can go around the track. I mean, the track was merely used to test cars' suspension, rollover, ability to brake. One personal observation was, I'm not going to say which car it was, because I don't want to create any bias in the mind of people. But there was one particular car who, after going around the track at breakneck speed, going through the cones, then there was the brake test, and this car's brakes turned a little bit spongy.
I know.
Which was surprising to me, because this particular car, I didn't expect its brakes, and it wasn't the Type R. I didn't expect its brakes to turn spongy. So the testing is very varied. It's not just about, you know, can the thing go around the track and can it handle. Suspension is tested, brakes are tested, because stopping a car is as important as acceleration.
Well, yeah, exactly. Is there any, obviously you aren't a judge, because you don't want to put yourself in that position to, you know, be too impartial or whatever, but is there any car that you look at and you feel it kind of got the edge in other ones?
So, I mean, I went into, onto the day with the favorite being, well, my favorite, personal favorite being the Volvo XC40.
Right.
Now, the Volvo XC40 is still my personal, one of my personal favorites, but I was suitably impressed with the A250. I wasn't a fan of the A-Class Merc going into that test day, but after experiencing the car, I think that's one of my favorites as well.
Okay. George, do you often see a bit of a spike as well? I mean, obviously, you guys monitor, you know what's on AutoTrader itself. But, I mean, something like this, obviously you get more traffic to your site, more traffic to your platform. But, like, is this a really big sort of thing for car brands in general to have this much spotlight on them as far as, like, interest in purchases?
Yes, it is. But you've got to, like any marketing thing, you've got to work it. You get exponential value out of working the fact that it is a finalist or if it becomes a car of the year. Mm-hmm. So as a manufacturer, if the fact that they're in the finalists or they become car of the year is just left and disappears into the ether, there's no big uptake. There's no uptake on the car of the year. But if they actually use it to their advantage, the incremental benefit is there. So what we do find is that when we place emphasis on the 12 finalists or on the final car of the year there is an exponential bit of value. To give you an example, up to now we've reached 25 million people. Just on these 12 finalists.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is impressive. It's so that's the example of, you know, marketing a car that is not part of a competition like this versus marketing a car that is part of a competition like this.
All right.
But if you do nothing, you still get nothing. That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. And how involved are the actual manufacturers? I mean, is it simply a case of these are the votes, can I please have these cars to test? Or, I mean, are they also kind of just pushing as well?
No. So the manufacturers are very involved, different ones to varying degrees. Germany had their entire team there supporting their car on the testing day. They were at the test day dinner. Volvo was there. Many others were there. I mean, I'm not going to go through all 12, but they send people at different levels to varying degrees, and they support their car in varying ways, but they all support their car.
Okay. Wow, this really does sound like quite an event of all the best in cars.
It is, and it's exciting. I mean, I've never been to a test day. Since AutoTrader's now the headline sponsor of this competition, I'm fortunate enough to attend the test days and to observe the judging process, and it's an intricate thing. These journalists are the one thing I did notice though is some of the journalists are middle-aged. Not that that's a bad thing, because you and I are middle-aged, Ben. But some of these judges are middle-aged, and I got in next to one or two judges who were in their 50s, and this little boyish grin and sparkle in their eyes came out when they were driving out onto Kyalami to go and test the car. So these people are passionate about cars, testing cars, and the motoring industry. So I think all of that works in this recipe of the end result being the final car really deserves its win.
Well, that's just the great thing about cars as well, is that no matter how old you are, they always have the ability to kind of, you know, reinvigorate that childhood sort of charms and enthusiasm.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how much older you're getting and how slower you run or walk, a car will always get you the speed that you're looking for.
It does. And Leanne, just out of interest, there were two female judges that I went around the track with, and are as capable, if not better, around that track than a lot of the guys.
You know, I was remembering the other day I did a top billing skit with Michael Mole. It was the two moles racing against each other in a Ferrari. And, you know, we played some of the 5FM DJs were allowed to play around in the Ferraris the day before. I don't know if I should mention names, but Sasha Martinengo and NF. And I actually beat Sasha's time, which was really amazing.
Oh, wow.
I must say, I had Gugu Zulu, who was in the car with me, coaching me at the stage, and he was pretty impressed. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. Go, ladies. I actually won a competition
Were you sober?
I was sober. I won a competition on a skid pan as well. It was...
Wow.
I came first, and then it was 10 guys, and then the next girl. So I've always wondered if I should have had a career in racing. Maybe I should have.
It's like a little
maybe we should maybe Auto Trader should arrange a little bit of a pitted test with you, Leanne.
Well, no, I don't know if I'm the same as I was in my youth, but we can give it a whirl.
Well, look, it'd be quite an interesting thing to put this team onto it. Gareth will crash the car. Sia will never get a second gear out of sharing.
No, he'll scream as he accelerates.
So Leanne may be the greatest driver we have here.
Exactly. Maybe what we should do is put all of you in some drift cars and see what you do.
Well, as long as it doesn't involve an eye test with E's that face different ways and a joystick, I'll be fine.
I would love to do this. I really, really love to do this.
I think let's talk afterward, Ben. I think this is not a bad idea. Let's see if we can get some laughs going. And you know, we've taken Gareth drifting before. Let's see if you guys can put him to the post.
Nice.
I'm gonna go with yes.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on in the world of cars, George?
So Toyota has patented a fragrance dispenser, which looks like it's going to hit, future cars that they manufacture. But this fragrance dispenser is also being patented with the ability to hit thieves with tear gas.
Incredible. I like that.
So I think this is a good thing because hopefully that doesn't release its tear gas instead of the fragrance when the right person's in the car. But that's interesting that they patented a fragrance dispenser that can put out tear gas as well.
Smart.
Very, very smart. And then in the world of patents and cars, Ford has also patented a way in which to turn your pickup truck into a movie theater, almost like the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this big screen that rolls up from the back of the cab with speakers underneath the screen, and and you're able to watch a big screen movie on the back of your Bucky. So, you know, when I saw this, I thought to myself, well, all these guys in the East Rand with their Bakuzis could now have theater days.
That's exactly
what I was thinking
drive of. Exactly.
What an absolute win.
only Ford.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3 litre Ford, 2 litre Coke, 1 litre brandy.
Ideally.
Finally, there's this paint that has been developed that it's called Lumilor, that you're able to switch on and off. It's a luminous paint. You're able to switch on and off like LEDs with a switch inside your car, but it's not lights, it's paint. And it illuminates by the flick of a switch inside your car, which is starting to gain a popularity in other countries. So it can do flashes. It can be set up to flash like a heartbeat. And when it's off, it just looks like regular paint.
Jeez. That gives new meaning to taxis flashing at you in the fast lane to get out the way. They might just change car color like chameleons.
The guys with their bakuzis and screens, now yeah. They've got paint to illuminate the bottom of their car.
It all works together. Makeover of notes.
Exactly.
All right, George, that's good for the week. Obviously, you guys, your Monday podcast here on Cliff Central, anything new coming up we need to look out for?
Well, we're going to start talking about Formula One again, which I'm very excited about because, there's a race coming up. So we'll be adding that to the segment. I think it's going to be a very close year when it comes to Formula One.
It should be. About time now. Ferrari's got to kick on here.
Yeah. Exactly. And Vettel needs to keep his head in the game and not get too hot-headed because they have a shot. It's theirs to throw away again.
Well, again. So that's Auto Central, 9 a.m. Mondays. George, we'll catch you back in the flesh here on the show next Friday.
100%. Good stuff. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too, George. Thanks so much.
Cheers, George.
Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.